There are many prayers found in the Old Testament that I believe are very beneficial to us to know them. And I believe the first one we should look at, if we're going to look at those prayers over the next couple of few weeks or so, I believe the first one we should look at is one of the prayers of David. Oftentimes when sitting for a portrait, certain famous people have sat a certain way to hide some scar or some aspect of their appearance that they were maybe embarrassed by or that was unappealing. But in the Bible, the character portraits painted by God's word hold nothing back. People are painted just as they were. Flaws and character deformities are not left out, but rather, in many cases, they are front and center. For David's good then, and for our own good now, his sin is revealed in detail, but thankfully, so is his prayer of repentance. The first chapter in David's fall was bad enough. 2 Samuel 11 tells us that at the end of the year, at the time when kings go to battle, that David stayed home in Jerusalem. Going up to his rooftop in the evening, he looks out over the neighbors' homes, the homes of his men whom he had sent out to battle, and sees a beautiful woman bathing. And instead of turning and walking away and going back to inside his own house, he had to find out who she was. Just like pornography draws people in, David was drawn in, and the result was essentially the same. It was Job who had wisely said, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look?" That Hebrew word there is intently or with a gaze, meaning lustfully, upon a young woman. But David was not thinking about God or purity in that moment. He foolishly lingered and looked. And what he imagined, he demanded. When David had inquired as to who this woman was, it was told him that she was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, one of his faithful and loyal men. Again, instead of leaving it there, he sent for her. After the act of adultery, the conditions were created that made it expedient for David to go to the next step and cover up his sin by taking the life of the faithful and unsuspecting soldier Uriah. Failure to make Uriah his tool by flattery and intoxication, David then plotted to end his life. Sin, like drugs, is cumulative. Take them today and you must have them in larger quantities tomorrow. One sin opens the gate and prepares the way for the next. Herod, for example, slew the apostle James, and when he saw that it pleased the people, the Bible says, he sought to kill Peter also, because that's what sin does. David's plan reveals a strange state of mind. He was the king of Israel, so he could have taken the life of Uriah at any moment he wanted to. He just had to give the order. But the light of truth and conscience had not deserted him yet, so he wanted Uriah to die, but yet realized that Uriah did not deserve to die. Therefore, he devised a plan that would end the life of Uriah and supposedly bring relief to David by covering it all up, covering up his original sin, yet David wouldn't have to lift his own hand against Uriah. And so, in a letter to his general, Joab, and carried by the hand of Uriah himself, David instructed Joab that he was to set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle against the Ammonites at Rabbah. At a prearranged signal, those fighting with him, alongside him, were to retreat suddenly and leave Uriah to fight the enemy alone. Therefore, honorably fighting for his king, never suspecting the wicked and treacherous plot, Uriah died, and his wife became David's wife. Oh, David, why did you not die, fall yourself in battle before this dreadful day? The glory and the splendor of your reign are past. Now comes the eclipse of your life. If you had died before this double crime, your name would have come down to us unblemished. But now, sufferings and misfortunes await you. Never shall the sword depart from your house, says the Lord. If you had only died before your eyes beheld Bathsheba, before you wrote the letter that murdered Uriah, you would never have seen incest among your own children. Tamar raped and Amnon murdered. The bloody dagger of Absalom haunting you like a curse. Never would you have cried out there on your face with tears streaming down, "Oh, Absalom, my son, Absalom, my son. Would that I had died for you, O Absalom." But that's an afterthought. Who besides the Lord can say whether a person should have died before their fall? For only he knows their heart and their future. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 12, "Then David sent and brought her, Bathsheba, to his house, and she became his wife. But the thing, the Bible says, that David had done displeased the Lord. In vain are all our achievements and honors and pleasures if at the end there is attached that grim addendum, but the thing displeased the Lord." Amen. It would be foolish to think that David never had a moment of remorse. There are too many psalms and too much time spent with God in the pastures with the sheep to assume that. However, months passed by with no sign of repentance, because remorse is not repentance. Likely he occupied his mind and suppressed the interrogations of his conscience with the cares of ruling Israel. But then, God sent Nathan the prophet. He might have openly named David's sin and pronounced judgment, but he chose the better way, describing it and then letting David judge himself. Nathan the prophet makes David pass the sentence upon an imaginary case and then shows him that it is his own case. And so he says to David, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food, drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And then a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." That tale would have moved any hardened heart, and David's generous nature was kindled as he heard it. The Bible says, "So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and said to Nathan the prophet, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity.'" I imagine David stood from his throne as he thought about that and spoke those words, instinctively reaching for his sword and was about to demand to know who had done this. And then Nathan said to David, in one of the most stunning and convicting moments in Scripture, "You are that man. You are that man, says the Lord God of Israel. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, if that were not enough, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and you have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives from before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it in secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David, gripped with deep conviction, said to the prophet, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. At this point, David begins to go to the sanctuary. His face was solemn before his subjects, who may have wanted to stop him walking to the sanctuary, maybe hoping for a chance to speak to him, maybe hoping for a chance to petition him for something, but he was determined. I've got to get to the sanctuary. His heart, his soul was shattered. Amen. He enters the sanctuary weeping and falls prostrate before the Lord and begins to repent. Amen. He begins to pour his heart out to God in repentance. And for our sake, those who would come after David, those who would receive conviction of sin, the Lord moved on David to pick up his pen and scroll and write his prayer of repentance and add it to his book of Psalms. And it is the greatest example of repentance in Scripture. He pours out his soul before the Lord, acknowledging his sin, not making an excuse for it, not justifying it, not blaming Bathsheba, amen, not blaming anyone else. And that is the first step of repentance, admitting and acknowledging our sin. Amen. And so, if you will, read this with me, Psalm 51. David is in the sanctuary. He's crying out to God, have mercy upon me, O God. That's the first thing he does, is because he knows that God is merciful. Amen. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't decide, let me figure out some way to approach God with this. How can I start this? What can I say? Who can I blame? No. He just begins with, have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness. Not according to my goodness, not according to anything I've done or who I am, but according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Amen. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It's a desperate cry and a desperate plea for forgiveness and for cleansing. Amen. Because sin and the acknowledgement of sin had finally just wrecked his heart and his mind. And David is obviously a man who knew how to repent, and thank God that God laid it on his heart to write that prayer of repentance. Amen. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. And then, O God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. But rather restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. If that's what you were looking for, God, I would do it. I would slay lambs and rams and anything else if that's what you wanted, but that's not what you want, God. You don't delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices that God delights in are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. He said, these, O God, you will not despise. Oh, hallelujah. What a beautiful passage of repentance. Amen. That you and I owe it to ourselves and to our walk with God. Amen. And to our future life with God to learn it and to know it and to know how to do it. Amen. To know how to pray it. Oh, hallelujah. And so what happened? The prophet said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin and you shall not die. The Lord did have mercy upon him. Amen. The Lord did blot out his transgressions. The Lord did wash him thoroughly from his iniquity and cleanse him from his sin. The Lord did purge him and hid his face from his sins. He did create in him a clean heart. And he did not cast him away from his presence. Amen. But did the Lord remove the wages and consequences of David's sin? No, he did not. David began to pay the wages and consequences of sin immediately. The child born out of the adulterous act died shortly after birth. Some of his other children turned against him. Many of his constituents turned against him and sided with his son Absalom. The Davidic family and kingdom were never the same after that. Until Christ was born. Amen. The same God to whom David pleaded for mercy, the same God from whom his judgment came, was the same God who chose David's descendant Mary to carry and birth his incarnation. Oh, hallelujah. The mercy of God came upon David after his prayer of repentance. Amen. And it was such that David would write about it and praise him for it extensively. He said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. And for 23 more stanzas, every line, amen, is followed by that declaration, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. It's a sad commentary on David's life that he fell as he did. But if he had not sinned in such a way, we may never have been given Psalm 51. And if David had only prayed and prayed sincerely and often, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. If he had only just prayed that more often and more sincerely, then there probably would not have been a Psalm 51. Amen? And so it is with us. We need the prayer of repentance. We need Psalm 51. But if we would pray Psalm 139, amen, we may not need Psalm 51 so often. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Amen. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, hallelujah. If we would pray that prayer more often, we wouldn't need Psalm 51 as often as we really do. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. As I said, the first step in repentance is acknowledging the sin, right? Because when we try to cover our sin, we're burning up time and energy, and all the joy is gone, and God seems to be a million miles away, prayer's not working, The Bible seems boring, church feels dull, but when we repent, the Lord will restore to you and me the joy of our salvation. That's why he said, restore to me. He said, I've been dealing with this far too long, God. Amen. I feel like you're so far away. I feel I can't pray. I don't want to read the word. I don't want to go to the sanctuary. He said, so restore to me the joy of my salvation. And when we repent sincerely and truthfully as David did, admitting that I have sinned against the Lord, then the God who is the source of all justice and mercy and righteousness, as quick as the hills send back your echoes, as quick as the sun comes through an open window, God's forgiveness comes down to that repentant soul. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Just as soon as you repent, just as soon as you pour out your heart to God and pour out your soul in sincere and true repentance like David did, amen, the forgiveness of God comes so quickly. Because that forgiveness has been prepared for us from before the foundation of the world. For as we know, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And it will take the immeasurable stretches of eternity to appreciate to the full its beauty and power. Amen. But quicker than the eye can flash, faster than the heart can beat, it comes to you. Forgiveness does. When you seek it. Amen. When you repent. Repentance lifts the prodigal from the pig pen. Repentance breaks the shackles of prisoners. Repentance opens prison doors. Heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. And the heart of one sinner rejoices when he is forgiven. Let's stand. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the person whose transgression is forgiven. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God, thank God. Because true Christianity, after all, is a religion for sinners. Amen. Amen. True Christianity, the church, is not for the perfect, right? It's for sinners. Jesus said, I didn't come to seek and to save those who are saved. In other words, or he said, I didn't come for the saved, right? I came for the lost. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. And only those who are willing to confess themselves as sinners are permitted to enter into the joy of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, I'm a sinner. Save me. I need you. Amen. I need you, Lord. Help us to learn to repent. Help us to learn, God, to pour our hearts out. Help us to learn to pour our soul out in repentance. And thank God for Psalm 51. Amen. Thank God for David's prayer. But thank God for the prayer of Psalm 139 as well. Search me, O God. Help me, O God. Search my heart, my mind. See if there's any wicked way in me and take it, Lord, and lead me to everlasting. Amen. Oh, praise God. Let's clap our hands and give Him thanks. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. There's nothing, I think, as uplifting as just pure repentance and forgiveness of sins from God. Amen. Amen. Granted, there's nothing like the Holy Ghost. I don't mean that it's better than that. The infilling of the Holy Ghost, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like coming up out of the water. But you don't get baptized every day, right? Amen. But just going to God in repentance, and especially if it's your first time, especially if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost or never been baptized, and you're going to God finally saying, God, I'm tired of that life. I'm tired of the life I've been living. I'm tired of this sin. I'm tired of this everything I've been doing, the way I've been going my whole life. I want to give it to you, God. I want to live for you. I want to serve you for the remainder of my years, for the remaining days of my life. And here I am. And God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the sins. I'm sorry for all I've done. There's nothing like that kind of repentance and forgiveness. Amen. Oh, praise God. Praise God. But also, if you have fallen, if you have messed up like David, who was already a worshiper, already a man after God's own heart, already somebody who knew God, if you've fallen like David, if you've messed up like David, there's nothing like going to your face before God and repenting, amen, and praying like David prayed.